Let's go further in understanding what the particular Hisnagdus Yavan has to the Beis HaMikdash. Yavan was Misnagd to the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was the Makam of the Chibur. The Chibur Olamas. It was a place made out of physical materials. The physical materials had spiritual properties, but they were still physical materials. The Beis HaMikdash was made of things from this world. They didn't act like things in this world, but they were made from things in this world. And in the Beis HaMikdash, there's Avoda. Avoda is using this world. Mitzvahs. Avoda and mitzvahs are synonymous. Mitzvahs are using things in this world for a purpose and elevating them. Without a guf, there are no mitzvahs. The guf is commanded to do mitzvahs. The number of evarim in the guf is a parallel to the number of mitzvahs that there are. It's not a coincidence. There's Ramach Evarim, there's Sagidim, there's Tayag Mitzvahs, there's 248 mitzvahs asay, 365 mitzvahs laisasay. Because what Hashem did was, he created the Torah with 613 parts, and then he created a guf from the Torah with 613 parts. We're supposed to use the guf to fulfill the mitzvahs in the Torah. And it's not how we think. You know, the guf is separate. The guf is independent. The guf is on its own. And then God commanded the guf to do the mitzvahs. And the guf is doing something outside of itself. Like the mitzvah is one thing, and the guf is another thing. And we're commanded. The guf is commanded to do the mitzvah. It's so much deeper than that. I mean, the guf is the mitzvah. The guf was created from the mitzvah. The heart of a person was created from the mitzvah of Esrog. The physical body came from somewhere. The physical body came from somewhere. It's a series of stages. At one time, the physical body was not here. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the Aleph Beis. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the Torah, and the Aleph Beis is represented in the Torah in many different forms. It forms words. Kadosh Baruch Hu took an Aleph, a Tav, a Resh, a Vav, a Gimel, and the spiritual letters. There was no ink. There was no parchment. There was a concept. It was a concept. It was a thought. It was an expression of God's thought. That there should be an Esrog. It only existed in that world. You know, if you imagine something, if you'd be able to imagine something that didn't exist, with God it's impossible. You can't. So,
why can't you imagine something that doesn't exist?
Because imagination only. But you know what a pink honey, could you please take us?
I'm sorry.
You have to call Chaim Reis. You call.
Oh.
Okay.
You can't.
Try it. Okay. A pink elephant is not something that doesn't exist, because elephants exist and pinks exist. And all you're doing is taking the pink and putting it on the elephant.
Yeah, but that's something that doesn't
exist. Imagine if it's not true. It does exist. Pink and elephants exist. So you want to shoot a gray elephant. So you use a gray elephant gun. If you want to shoot a white elephant, what kind of gun do you use?
A white elephant gun?
No, you paint it gray and shoot it with the gray elephant gun. So when you talk about a pink elephant, all you're doing is taking a gray elephant and painting it pink. It's not something that doesn't exist. But to try and think of something that you've never experienced before, you can't. It's impossible. It is totally impossible. It's beyond the capability of a human being to conjure up a thought that he has never come in contact with it. Mitzvahs are the person. So Kadosh Baruch Hu had a concept of a heart. And then that concept went through a series of stages, very complex stages, which we don't understand, until it got less and less spiritual and more physical. It had to be in stages until it became a heart. And the heart actually comes from a mitzvah.
Okay.
The Torah is sometimes referred to as the blueprint of creation. That's not what it is. The Torah is creation.
What's her
anything in this world actually emanates from the Torah. The Torah is the basic building blocks of creation. Hashem created the Torah and that's it. Hashem created one thing. He created the Torah. And now once Hashem created the Torah, so the Torah went through different forms. So when Hashem first created the Torah, it was in a form that it only has meaning for Hashem. And we'll never, you know, we can't access that.
How is it more than one stage? Shouldn't it just go spiritual to physical?
I mean, if I understood the process, I'd be able to explain to you why it has to be multi-stage. But we understand why it can't be direct. That much we could understand.
Is that what the other olamos are that are in between?
That's the other olamos. That's referred to the olamos.
Why did it have to change at all? Why would Hashem?
Right. Okay. That's a valid question. Because Baruch Hu had a purpose in creating the world. He wanted to create a world that had two aspects to it. Number one, it's a world that he created. And number one, it's a world that you can't tell he created. Now, to have both things at the same time is impossible. Because when Hashem creates the world, it's inevitable that you'd be able to see from the creation that Hashem created it. Because Baruch Hu would create the world with one stage. Let it be. And we wouldn't even be able to imagine what that world would look like. But we would know something about that world. It would be a world without Bechira. We would try and picture what a world would be like if it was created directly by God. We can't picture it. But there would be no Bechira because the world would be so close to its creator. It's a direct result of the creator. How could somebody choose not to perform the will of the Creator when created directly by the Creator? It would be impossible. And Hashem wants a world where people have choices. So in order to do that, he has to hide himself. In order for Hashem to hide himself, he has to create the world in stages. So Hashem created the Torah. And then Hashem infused or imparted to the Torah the ability of creating something else. Another olam. The Nefesh HaChaim talks about, there's names for these olamos. The olamos that we're familiar with, number four, there's four of them. There's the olam HaAtzilus, the olam HaBriya, the olam HaYitzira, and the olam HaAsiya. Aleph, Beis, Yud, Ayin, which form the word Abiya. Abiya means I will express myself. Like we say in Pesukah Zimra, Yayim liyayim yabiya aymer v'layla l'layla yichavadas. Yayim liyayim yabiya aymer, the days they express themselves, they communicate with each other. So Abiya means I will express myself, and it's God. This is God's way of expressing himself by creating the Olam HaAtzilus, the Olam HaBriya, the Olam Yetzirah and the Olam Asiyah. In each one of these worlds, it's not a separate world. It's a further stage. The Olam Atzilus is called Olam Atzilus because it comes from the word Eitzel, Al Tzadik Lamed. Eitzel means adjacent, right next to, because that's the initial stage. God created the Olam Atzilus, so it's Eitzel. Olam Atzilus is the Olam of the Torah. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the Torah. If one would have access to the Olam Atzilus, you would see the Aleph Beis. If you have the Aleph Beis, you have the whole Torah, because there's not a single word in the Torah that's not made up of, you know. If someone gives you a bunch of these letters, these magnetic letters, you know, that you put on the refrigerator, or in Israel you could do it on your front door, you could write a Sefer Torah with them. Just Bereishis, you take the Beis, the Reish, and you could go through the entire Sefer Torah with 27 letters. It'll give you 27 magnets, and you can write a Sefer Torah. Because every single word in the Sefer Torah is in the Aleph Beis. There's no letters in the Sefer Torah, they're not in the Aleph Beis. And like we're learning now in the second pack of Kedushin, that there's different ways that you could read the letters. It means different things. It says v'shocha, v'shila v'shocha, malam v'shuayz ha'shliach, malam v'shiyayz ha'shliach. Because if you pronounce v'shocha with a mapakei, v'shocha, so that's masculine. If you pronounce it without the mapakei, it's v'shocha, that's feminine. So the same letters can mean that he makes a shliach or that she makes a shliach. There's different ways you read it. You could switch the letters around. There's Rosh Tevis. You could dash things out of every eighth letter.
Isn't that finite, though? The Olam Atzilus is finite.
What?
The Olam Atzilus is finite.
Well, anything that's created is finite. Just from the very fact that it had to be created, that means that it has a beginning. If it was created, that means it has a beginning. If it has a beginning, it has an edge. Of course it's finite.
Does the Olam Atzilus, is it inside time, or is it before time? Is it here now?
Time was created in the final stages. There's no time is only in this world.
So
it says in Parshas Bereishis, because Baruch Hu put the Ma'aris, the Akia, the Isis, the Yama, the Lishanim, that time. Time as we know it began on the fourth day of creation.
I think you already mentioned about, like, there's a thing that the Torah was created 900, some over 900 generations ago.
974 generations before the world was created.
So doesn't that mean it's time?
A generation is not time. What's a generation? We have no idea.
generation.
If you're going to say a generation, if you're going to define a generation, like the grandfather is one generation, the son is another one, the grandson's a third one, they definitely didn't have grandfathers before the world was created. So generation means a stage. A door is like a totally complete unit. So when the Torah says that the Torah was created 974 generations before the world was created, it means that there were 974 sub-stages. It's just a way of telling us that the stages were broken up into sub-stages.
Why was there such a long time for the Torah to
create? I don't know. It's more like if a God did it that way, he probably knew what he was doing. I said it would probably in quotation marks. We're sort of like after the fact here, you know. Certain things are revealed to us after God did it. So we could take them and try and understand them based on accepting them what they are. And 974 plus 26 is 1,000. The Torah was created 974 generations before the world was created. And there were 26 generations from Adam Rish until Moshe Rabbeinu. It's 1,000. So we study the significance of the number 1,000 and we gain some understanding. The number 1,000 is the number that represents things getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and further and further and further away from one. Two is far away from one. Three is even further away from one. 999 is very far away from 1. And then 1,000 is you're going back to 1. Besides the fact that 1,000 is 1, just followed by a lot of zeros.
Is that like
Aleph and Aleph? Aleph
and Aleph. Why is Mayo different or Asar different?
There's a certain rishus that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives for the world to spread apart from him. And at a certain point, Hashem says it's going to come back to one. If the world would be allowed, you know, to expand, that means that, just in practical terms, if you know, Rishayim are given a very long leash. When someone embarks on his path, Rachmana Litzlan, becoming a Rasha, so he's going away from the center point. The center point means that everything originated from one point, one origin. The center point means that there's only one truth. The center point means that there's only one goal worthwhile in attaining. Center point means clarity. And Rishayim, you know, they said, listen, we want to see for ourselves. And we're going to explore other possibilities. And then we're going to make a decision. So that by doing that, so you start searching, it's similar to what Yisro did. Yisro, he worshipped every single Avodah Zarah in the world. Avraham Avinu did the same thing. Avraham Avinu, he investigated. He searched. Every ism, every asafi, ism or asafis in the world. So that's going away from a central point. Even if you're not actually doing it, just by searching it, you're going away. And at some point, you exhaust all the possibilities. You know, Avraham Avinu went from one thing to the next. He said, this is nothing, this is formless, this is narishkeit. And he ran out of things. He said, there is only one thing there that makes sense that's totally consistent. And there's other forms of worship and belief that externally they make sense. But when you learn them out of sight, so you see contradictions, you see things that aren't logical, you see things that are elements that are very, very harmful, and then you eliminate one at a time. You're going to eliminate every single Avodah Zarah in the world. And you're going to realize that all the things that you thought were choices were not choices. There's only one thing that's totally consistent. So Avraham Avinu did this and Yisro did this. Both of them. So that means azai. That means going away. I mean, not that this is advocated. Not that I'm advocating this. It's very dangerous. But going away, if you're an honest person, if you're a totally honest person, going away is really a sibah to come back. Going away means you're going to see, discover and understand everything until its very core, you're going to see the sheker in it. If you take an honest look at it, and you have to dedicate the proper amount of time and give it the proper attention, you are going to find the sheker. So going after the sheker or investigating the sheker leads to the emes. So you know, going away from the one brings you back to the one. So there's a limit to how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to stray away from the one. We conceivably, if we'd be able to go very, very far away, we might never come back. It's a certain point. You understand that 999 ways are sheker? That brings you back to one. That was Kachkoz HaKachmasa. So why didn't Hashem make 3,292 types of sheker? Hashem decided not to. You know, that's already, you know, how far are you going to ask? There's 999 ways of you know, going away from the number one.
It seemed that the 999 thing that I don't understand was the hardest. Was like the hardest thing to go into Aleph, or was the easiest thing?
Well, I don't know. Who says you have to have an answer to that question? Maybe it's not harder or easier. It just is. It can be just is. So that's why Rabbi Ramesh, he talked about this then, the numbering system. If you know the gematria of the letters, so Aleph is 1 and Tav is 400. You know all the ones in between. But then there's the final letters, the end of letters. The Chav Sofis, the Mem Sofis, the Nun Sofis, the Pei Sofis, the Tzara Sofis. They also have a numerical value. A Chav is 20. A Chav Sofis is 500. A Mem is 40. A Mem Sofis is 600. It's not even. A Nun Sofis is 700. A Pei Sofis is 800. And Tzara Sofis is 900. So you have Aleph through Tav. Aleph is 1, Beis, Gimel, Dal, Hei, Vav, and Tov. Yud is 10, Chaf is 20, Lamed is 30, Mem is 40, Nun is 50, Samach is 60, Ayin is 70, Pei is 80, Tzedek is 90, Kuf is 100, Resh is 200, Shin is 300, Tav is 400, Chaf Sofis is 500, Mem Sofis is 600, Nun Sofis is 700, Pei Sofis is 800, and Tzedek Sofis is 900. So now, what's the largest number you can make with the Aleph base? What's the largest number you can make? So you take the largest among the digits, that's tes. And the largest among the tens is tzaddik. And the largest among the hundreds is tzaddik sofis. Tzaddik sofis, tzaddik, and tes is 999. That's the largest. Right, now let's say you take an Aleph base, you take a long piece, a long strip of paper, very long, and you go from Aleph until Tzadik Sofis. But instead of leaving it as a long strip, you connect the end of your Aleph base ticker tape to the beginning of your Aleph base ticker tape. So if you do that, what's the letter that comes after Tzadik Sofis? After Tzadik Sofis is Aleph. And what's the number that comes after 999? That's Aleph. See, I'm saying this is Kadosh Baruch Hu created the Aleph Beis. He made it like this, and he took the Aleph Beis, and the Aleph Beis became the world. So it means that this world is a world that starts from one, goes away from one, but eventually comes back to one. So that's the physical body. Okay, the physical body is not so physical. That's the physical body. The physical body was created to do the mitzvahs because the physical body is created from the mitzvahs. And by doing the mitzvahs, the physical body gets closer to what it was created from. So you do the mitzvahs, you become reacquainted with the source of your existence. I'm sure you've heard stories, but there's a famous story which was reported by people that, you know, from the previous century, I mean recently, that when they had to transfer the Vilna Gaon's cave, they had to transfer him. He was buried in Vilna, and the cemetery was being appropriated by the Russian authorities. They had to transfer him to the new Vilna cemetery, or the old Vilna cemetery. And there was a group of people that they brought his remains over. And they saw the Vilna Gaon. This is in the 1920s, 1930s.
Open year?
I don't know, you know, I don't know what the condition it was. They dug up the caver, so I don't know in what state he was lying when the dirt came off. I doubt if they took the cloth out of him and uncovered him. But maybe when they opened it up, he was uncovered. I don't know. I really, I don't know. But it said it looked like he was sleeping. Died 100 years, 120 years before that. It looked like he was sleeping. That's his body. Because his mitzvah observant was so total and complete, his body had the properties of something that doesn't get affected by physical causes.
Doesn't make the body weaker?
Okay.
Not stronger.
Well, doing mitzvah. The Gemara says that Torah makes the body weaker, actually. It never says that mitzvahs make the body weaker. Torah matesh kach shalom. It doesn't say that about mitzvahs. But, you know, we hear these, you know, to understand the mice, the ones that were Isaac in transferring his body, they all died within a year. That, there's a theory, because it's not like the Vilna Gaon woke up and told them why they're going to die. And there's no medrash that says why they die, but there's a theory. I'm saying that the assessment is because they came into contact with something beyond this world. And they weren't ready for it. They weren't on the level. Even though they were doing a mitzvah, this was something from beyond this world. And they weren't ready for it. They touched something they shouldn't have touched. Up he did, they were supposed to touch it.
How come with the urn, if you touch it, why don't they just let you die? Why do they have to kill you? That's something.
By the urn Kaddish?
Yeah.
Are you talking about Uzziah? First of all, it didn't happen every time. It happened by Uzziah.
But wasn't that a law that if you touch it, you die?
No, he died. Exactly, he died by touching the urn. He died. He wasn't put to death. There was no chiyav misa. I mean, whatever the pasuk says that when they're putting away the kelim, so then they shouldn't look at the kelim when they're putting it away. But there's no pasuk that there's a chiyav misa for someone touching the iron. Uzziah, the iron was on a wagon, and the wagon jostled it, and the iron. Uzziah was afraid that the iron was going to fall off, so he ran to catch the iron, and he died. He died on the spot. Adarabit, that's the same thing. He was in contact with something from beyond, and just it's not you can't live once you do that. You can live in this world, you can live, but you can't live. You know what it is when you come to Israel with your 110 volt appliances, and instead of getting a converter, use one of those plastic pieces that makes it fit into the Israeli wall outlets. It's not a converter.
Transformer, it's a converter.
I don't think it's either. Transformer, converter, I guess if you're trying to convert the prong, yeah. It's not a transformer, it's it's an adapter. It's called an adapter. It adapts, you know. It doesn't adapt. It blows up. The power source is one system. All power is 220 volts. That's the natural voltage of generated power. In America, they have converters that downstage it to 110 because they're afraid that people get electrocuted. 110 is a lot safer than 220. It's also stable. In Israel, it costs money to do it, so they don't do it. But that's it. You come into contact with something from beyond this world. If you're not prepared for it, you can't stick around. The Vilna Gaon's body is not affected by physical forces because his body was mitzvah. If someone uses his body for things that are not mitzvahs, what kind of statement are they making? The body is not mitzvah. So Hashem says, okay, your body is not mitzvah, so it gets eaten by worms. Worms stay away from mitzvah bodies, and they eat Non-mitzvah bodies. It's at your choice. You decide what your body's going to be. And then there's Torah. Torah has absolutely nothing to do with the body. Torah's in the mind.
But it's a mitzvah.
Yes, Torah's a mitzvah. But it's a mitzvah which primarily is done with the part of the person that's not in this world. We use our body learning Torah as well. Of course we do. The body's a part of it. Of course, you know, just the body's an essential part of it. When you eat, you go to sleep. Sleep when you have to sleep. Eat when you have to eat. The body is worse. Of course, the body's part of it, but essentially, it's not. Now, the mitzvah has certain things that are beyond this world, and Torah has some things that are in this world. I'm talking about primarily. So the mikdash was a place where these two things were joined. So we spoke about this. The mitzvah is the place these two things were joined. And the menorah, especially, was a place where we had the chibur between the holiest physical parts of this world and then the light which is transcends this world. Now this can be understood on a very basic level, that the menorah is gold, physical metal, and then the lights on top of it are like spiritual. But we're going to go a little bit further. The lights, the Maral says the lights burned for 8 days. Moira Miles of Torah. The 8 days is Torah. The time that they burnt is Torah. Because 8 is Torah. And this is a Yisayid which is mentioned many times in the Maharal about the number 8. Let me bring some examples. By Yisa David Mizmar, this is Tilo Kufitas. If you've ever been to a cemetery and a yard site, then you probably said Tilo Kufitas. It's one of the Mizmarim in Tilim that goes according to the Seder Aleph base. Actually, it starts with the letter Aleph, and it goes through all the letters of the Aleph base. Like Ashrei. But there's a difference between this and Ashrei, because in Ashrei you have one pasuk for each letter of the Aleph Beis. In Tilum Kuf Yutesh you have 8. So that's the minhag on a yard site. The Tilum are said by the grave site, and they take the name of the Nifter, the Nifteris, and they say the Psukim, which spell out the name of the Nifter and Nifteris, and then they say the Psukim of Nun, Shin, Mem, He, which is Neshama. And it's a Nachas Ruach for the Neshama. There's 8 Psukim for each letter of the Aleph Beis. There's 8 Psukim starting with Aleph, 8 Psukim starting with Beis, 8 Psukim starting with Gimel. If you go through the Mizmar, and I definitely advise doing it, it's a beautiful Mizmar. You'll see that every single pasuk there talks about the Torah. It's a mizmah, it's a song to the Torah. And every pasuk, every letter of the Aleph Beis is in there, and it's there 8 times. So the Maharal says, why is it that a mizmah in honor of the Torah has 8 psukim for every letter of the Aleph Beis? It's because the Torah is affiliated with the number 8. He brings another example. He brings Tehillim Perek Yutes, Lamnatseach Mizmah LeDavid. Hashemayim Misapren Kvod Kael. The heavens proclaim the covenant of God. And for the seven psukim in Tehillim Perek Yutes. The 8th pasuk of Perek Yutes is Teres Hashem Tamim Mamashivas Nafash. Then you have the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have seven psukim of praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then the eighth pasuk of Tyre is Hashem created for his brothers. Tyre is the eighth pasuk. He says because the first seven psukim of Perek Yates are praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and El Mazeh. So you're not going to find Tyre in those seven psukim. You won't find it there. When you're praising God with seven psukim, Torah is not going to be one of those psukim because Torah is not a part of that. Those seven psukim, the number seven, that number, when you have that number, you're talking about Olam Hazeh. Anytime you're talking about something in sevens, you're talking about Olam Hazeh. Torah is not there. Torah is the eighth pasuk. The world was created in 7 days. So that means the Kadosh Baruch Hu had seven stages of creation. And when you have seven psukim praising God, so you're praising God, each pasuk is for one of the stages of creation. The world is a world that has seven directions to it. In front of you, behind you, to the right, to the left, up, down, and the central point. You don't have more than seven. There's no eighth. There is no eighth. There's only seven directions. You can't imagine an eighth direction. It's much, every single one of the directions are opposite. The one to the right, so the one to the left is diametrically opposed to it. It's the exact opposite. Then you have up and you have down. It's the exact opposite. In front of you and behind you, it's the exact opposite. That's six. There's no more. And then where everything started from, where the directions come out from. There are no more than seven. You can't imagine it. God made seven. We can't even conjure it up in our mind, a picture of a space that there's more than seven directions. There isn't. There's only seven. 7 days of the week. Seven constellations that go around each day. All the sevens. Seven notes on a musical scale. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti.
No.
What comes after T?
A drink with jam and bread.
Indeed.
No, really?
Why can't we have an eighth note? Could somebody make up an eighth? You know what happens when you make up an eighth note? You end up with a flat.
I thought they had 10 in the base of the
first. No, there's going to be more. There are more. It's impossible. You can't have more. It's colors, same thing. The spectrum of colors. You can't have more. And the Torah is the eighth. So I mean, the Torah is something that has nothing to do with this world. The Torah is unimaginable. The Torah is the eighth. So he says, therefore, Shiva Shavuos Tispa. That's why you count 7 weeks. You count 7 weeks. And Shavuos is on the 8th week. Shavuos is on the 50th day. That's the first day of the 8th week. Shavuos is not during any of the 49 days. Shavuos cannot be anywhere in the 49 days. Shavuos is the 8th week. It follows 7. You can't have an 8 without 7. 8 doesn't exist on its own. It follows 7. And that's Matan Torah. So Maharal explains that the Beis HaMikdash was a place where the two worlds connected. Because you had the Menorah, which was this world. And you had the fire, which was also this world. It was a fire. They lit it with a big lighter. You know, they lit it. But it lasted for 8 days. There was a handshake across the cosmos. There was a connection between this world, which is totally physical, and the world of the Torah, which existed before this world was created. Through the medium, sometimes you can connect with glue. Sometimes you can connect with rubber band. And this is a connection through time. Hashem used time to connect this world, which is physical, to the world which has no physicality at all. The lights lasting for 8 days are a connection between 7 and 8. That's very, very powerful. 7 touches 8 when the 7 lasts for 8 days. So that means there's no connection in space. There's a connection through time. And when we come to Sfiras Eimer, we're doing the same thing. See, this is it's so powerful. The connection between Hanukkah and Sfiras Eimer is that we count 49 days. So we're existing as physical beings, doing a physical action of counting is a physical act. We're using our physical bodies. It's all b'derech hateva. There's nothing otherworldly. And you know, we do the same thing week after week after week. We never leave this world. First day is number 1 till 7. And right after 7, you don't go to 8. You go back to 1. Until we do it 7 times. And then we stop counting. The next day, we touch 8. And our counting of 7 weeks is a it's the counting. When we count, what we're doing is we're creating a Beis HaMikdash in the form of counted days. You can make a Beis HaMikdash out of gold and marble and silver and all kinds of precious materials. And that's making a Beis HaMikdash out of Adama, Aretz, so called. You can also make a Beis HaMikdash out of time. That means you're taking something from this world, something worldly, something which is mundane, time, normal, Derech HaTeva, ordinary time. The same thing every day since the world was created. 6 days on Shabbos, 6 days on Shabbos, 6 days on Shabbos. It's common. We're acquainted with it. We understand its properties. It's predictable. But we sanctify it. We do special things during that time. And we should do special things during that time. And when you do special things during that time, you're taking physical time from this world. Nothing special about it. And you're using it for something holy. That's Beis HaMikdash, isn't it? Doesn't it sound like a Beis HaMikdash? Physical gold. But don't use it for for your own passions. Use it for God. So here you're supposed to, instead of making a physical Beis HaMikdash out of physical material, we're erecting a virtual Beis HaMikdash that the building blocks is time. And when it's built, when we finish all the sevens, so then we're finished. So then God looks down on us. He says, okay, you did all that you could do. And now I'm going to reward your efforts by doing something that you can't do. I'm going to connect you to the world outside of the physical world. So that's something that we can't do that. We could trigger it. We can't. We're physical creatures. We can't reach outside of ourselves and touch. Have you ever heard knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door? You know, we could knock on heaven's door, but we can't open the door, and we can't put our hand through. God has to open the door for us and pull us through. The 49 days. He says this. Maral says this in these words. The 49 days. Is a bechina of being mekadosh this world. It's taking this world and making it as holy as you can. And the 50th day is the number 8. That's the day when we connect to something that's nothing to do with this world. And that's Matan Torah, because the Torah doesn't take place in this world. Mitzvahs take place in this world. Torah is was created before the world was created. Tyra exists in the area of the mind, in the area of the neshama. So the 50th day, which is Har Sinai, the Maharal says that's in place of the menorah that lasted for 8 days. Mamash Meredith. The 49 days, the 7 weeks, is the menorah that they lit every day in the Beis HaMikdash. It lasted for one day. Derech HaTeva. Mostly Derech HaTeva. And Matan Torah, that's the menorah that it lasts for 8 days, because the number 50 is the first of the 8 weeks. When we successfully go through Sfiras HaOmer, and we spend the time in Sfiras HaOmer like a mikdash, so then the 50th day is we transcend time. And oil that's supposed to last for just one day keeps going. You do it. You know, if oil that's supposed to last for one day lasts for 8 days, you do understand that means that shows us it didn't have to last for 8 days. It could have gone on forever. Because oil, the same way that oil that's supposed to last only for one day could last for eight, that means it transcended its limits. If it transcends its limit, that means it can go on forever. God just decided to stop it then. You know, that's enough. But once you go past one day, it never stops. There's no reason why it should stop. So it's mamash. Shuris Ayim is a Hanukkah menorah. Mitzvah. We'll talk more about it next week. Before there's one more time. One more time. Monday, Tuesday. Yeah. Tuesday is Mitzvah.